Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Play action fake. Waits, delivers down the middle. He's got Warren at the 10. Tyler to the 5, dives, touchdown, Penn State! 38 yards and the Nittany Lions take the lead. Third and 3, their own 46. Trying to keep this alive. Oh. Minnesota jump. Free play, Clifford. Long and deep far sideline. Reaches up. Makes the catch. Inside the 24, Mitchell Tinsley on the free play. They caught him. And then on the free play, they burned him. Motion away from us by Washington. Clifford takes it. Back. Delivers end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Theo Johnson. The Nittany Lions have a two-score lead. Touchdown, Penn State. Takes the snap. Play action fake. Back. Throws it down the middle of the field for Washington. Goal line. Reaches up. A spectacular catch. Touchdown, Penn State. Parker Washington climbs the ladder and gives the Nittany Lions 6. Kalik Manis, straight drop. Pump fakes, delivers downfield. Safety's there, intercepted. Jair Brown at the 10. Brown 15, 20. Jair Brown to the 30. Breaks the tackle, swings it near side to the 35. To the 40, keeps going 45. His third interception of the year. The ninth of his career. And the Nittany Lion defense turns him away. Singleton to the left to Clifford. They're in the Del Grosso Sauce red zone. It's Singleton opening 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State, Nicholas Singleton. The Nittany Lions now have a 3-touchdown lead. Back throws near corner, wide open, touchdown, Tinsley. Singleton through the hole to the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State, Nicholas Singleton from 30 yards out, 44-17, Nittany Lions. So Penn State wins it on homecoming, 45-17. Now 6-1 on the season, and the Nittany Lions move to 3-1 in the Big Ten. And Ohio State is here next Saturday at noon.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on another Victory Monday. Feels good to say that again after the Michigan game a week ago. But, hey, back in the win column this week. Getting it done for the whiteout. 45-17, the winner for Penn State over Minnesota. And now it's time to get ready for Ohio State. But first things first, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy that win from Saturday night. Steve will soon be there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. You've got the sales staff that is just there for you. That's all. That's all there is to it. They're there for you to get the sale done, not just because of the sale. And a service department that is there with the diagnostics, the inspections, the routine maintenance. They have so many awesome technicians ready to serve you. But guess what? SMC is so good because of that all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. They need more. They need more in the quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, entry-level technician looking for your first job, maybe you're just looking for a career change, they'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. And of course, every Monday show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business. Maybe those businesses may want to check out the ones in Philly, with the Phillies winning over the weekend and get into the World Series. You name it, they have it. They're the true pros. All it's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to PurdyInsurance.com. We got another busy week coming up, and it's a big week in sports for this area because, of course, Penn State, Ohio State, Saturday at noon. Phillies in the World Series with Game 1 Friday night in Houston. Eagles Steelers this weekend. Battle of Pennsylvania at the Link. So it is a big, big week. So we got a lot of guests to make sure we got you covered. Center Daily Times' John Sauber rejoins us today at 3:35 to recap Saturday night's win. Of course, we'll have Neil Coulong tomorrow, as we always do. Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State, will join us Wednesday. The legendary voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, the 6-0 Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, at 3:35 on Wednesday. Bill Hillgrove, the Steelers legend himself, on the radio call. He'll join us at 3:20 on Thursday. Of course, we got our high school football roundtable on Friday. It's the final week of the regular season this Friday night across the valley. So, we're looking to add more this week. We are looking to add more. So stay tuned. It's going to be one heck of a week on this show. I can guarantee you that. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to John Sauber today at 3:35 to recap what was a tremendous atmosphere Saturday night at Beaver Stadium. As you all know, that was my, personally for me, that was my first time there for the whiteout. There is truly nothing like that in college sports. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, the scene, the light show was a brilliant idea by the Penn State athletic staff to have that before the game and then lighting as they come in. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen for a team intro, was the way they set that up with the lights and the fireworks and the team coming out. That my jaw dropped the whole time. I just kept saying, wow, as I'm watching from my spot in the press box next to Frank Bodani and Mike Gross. It was good catching up with those guys.
Talking about your big weekend.
Yeah.
Well,
it was a lot of fun Saturday night.
No,
let me tell
Jack
you.
Jack and I walked by. You were signing autographs, taking pictures. I was impressed. People love you.
Yeah, kissing babies. You know, I'm here for the people. What can I say? I'm a man of the people.
Start with the Phillies, by the way. We'll get to Penn State in a moment. You sign a Bryce Harper for a moment like that. You sign a Kyle Schwarber for the moments he delivered. This goes back to what we've talked about many times on the show when it comes to any kind of playoff. And this is why, you know, I've been a big advocate of expanding the college football playoff to 12, even 16. I mean, in the end, I think it's got to go to 16. But, you know, you take what you get. 12 is a good start. It's got to go to 16, I think, eventually. The key is to get into the tournament. And once you get into the tournament, then it's, guess what? The pressure is equal on each team. Both teams have to advance, got to figure it out, the whole deal. All right, look at the NFL. Steelers won it as a 6 seed. Packers won it as a 6 seed. Right? You have the ability that once you get in, you've got a shot. Now how far can you go? The Phillies are a great example of that. They won 87. They got themselves in. Swept St. Louis. Beat the defending champion Braves. And then were outstanding against the Padres 1-5. Swept the Padres in Philadelphia. Bullpen's been good. Starting pitching has been, for the most part, I mean, Wheeler and Nola have been a good 1-2 punch. Nola did not have a great game, too, obviously, against San Diego. Ranger Suarez closed out. But you get Harper for moments like that. You get him on a 13-year deal for moments like that. And you look at what, you know, Hoskins, once Hoskins broke through with that home run against the Braves in Game 3, it changed everything for him. Segura has played well. Right? Rio Muto has been just solid. Castellanos, getting him back's really helped. Marsh can't hit to save his soul, but defensively he's really good. He saves you runs. He saves you bases. So Marsh has been doing his job. The bat, not so much. But remember, when he was acquired, what did I say, Matt, about the acquisition of Marsh?
Oh, truly for his defense.
I said, legitimate center fielder. Legitimate center fielder. I said, the bat is a bonus, whatever you get out of him. But the guy can play defense. And that's what you have in this team. And that's, and they're a fun team to watch. They're an exciting team to watch. They've got just enough starting pitching to get them through. They've got just enough bullpen to get them through. And now, even though you know Houston will be the favorite going into the World Series, it's now the pressure is on each team all the way through. Well, I mean, it's not like Houston has really come through in this spot. Houston is one of those teams. Winning one is hard. Houston's had great success. The Dodgers have had great success over the last 6 years, right? Is that fair? Yet they've won one each. Not like they've won three each. No. In the last 6 years, that's not the way it's gone. Braves have won. The Red Sox have won. The Nationals have won. The Astros have won. The Dodgers have won. Right? I mean, that's how it's gone over the last, 6 years. And that's what's interesting. The Dodgers have been a dominant team. They've won one. Hard to win. And that was during the COVID year. The Astros have been in the playoffs all six of these years. They've won one. It's hard to win. It's just hard to win. I think the advantage, obviously, is still, I mean, as well as the bullpen for the Phillies has pitched, and they have pitched well. Dominguez, Alvarado, bullpen's done a really good job for Philadelphia. Something about that Houston bullpen's a little bit different. Just a little bit different. And I'll tell you, a guy that, a couple guys that are key guys on the Houston lineup, Bregman, last year when the Red Sox played Houston, they didn't have any trouble with Bregman at all, and you could tell Bregman was hurt. This year he's not hurt, playing great. And the other guy's Kyle Tucker. I really like Kyle Tucker. And I'll tell you right now, you cannot put a price on a pro's pro like Yuri Gurriel. The Yankees are playing Houston. Okay? They've got the shift on against Gurriel. What does he do? Right? All the analytics say, pull the ball, pull the ball, pull the ball. He slaps the ball to the right side, base hit. There's nobody there. He looked around and go, okay, so the interstate over here is full, but if I take the back roads, I'm going to get there faster. So he slapped the ball to right field, got a base hit, knocked in a run. Pro's pro. Yesterday when Stott doubled, Segura tried to hit the ball to the right side, and he flew out to right to Soto. So he was trying to move the runner over. He just got underneath it, which is an issue. But here's your World Series. It's all set. They're going to be wild and crazy in Philadelphia. I mean, I'm talking, that crowd's going to be just out of control once they get to Game 3. I know that, I think you brought up, they're an influence on the game. No, not really. They're just out there having a lot of fun. I mean, you think Justin Verlander is going to go, oh, look at all these people. What do I do now? No. The reason you win is because you win. Okay? Right? The reason you won is that Harper played great. The reason you won is Hoskins played great. The reason you won is because Wheeler pitched great. The reason you won is because your bullpen in key moments pitched great. Because Schwarber did a great job. I mean, it's not... the crowd is great. They have a lot of influence. Now, football's different, right? Football's different. The other night, whiteout, five false starts by the Minnesota offensive line. See, that's where the crowd comes into play. You're not going to cause a false start on the mound. I think Verlander's going to go, I think I'll balk here. The crowd's got me intimidated. I don't think so. But it's fun to be a part of that atmosphere. Which then gets me to the Ohio State game coming up on Saturday. So let me give Matt a number. There's a lot of analytics out there, right? I asked my class this morning. I said let's use numbers for a moment. I put up on the blackboard the number one. All right. I said for Ohio State football, what does this represent? So Matt, I'll ask you.
Similar to Penn State, 1-0.
No.
Okay.
Next. Oh, believe me, I got all sorts of answers in class. They're all the same as yours. And it's right on the stat sheet. It's right there on the stat sheet.
Losses at Beaver Stadium recently?
No.
All right.
No. The number, it's right there, right on the front page. Front page of the stat sheet for Ohio State. You know what it says? They are now playing their eighth game of the season. You know what has happened in the previous seven games? They played one road game. That's it.
Wow.
Okay?
That's a stat right there. Absolutely.
Okay. It was at Michigan State, which, by the way, has a very good atmosphere. So let's not in any way, shape, or form put down the Michigan State atmosphere. Okay? But they played one. That doesn't mean they can't handle it. That doesn't mean they can't walk in and have no problem with it. Okay? They've got veterans. But it's also something that they haven't had to get ready for really since the Michigan game last year, which, by the way, they didn't play well in last year.
And wasn't the Michigan State game a little bit dicey to begin, if I remember correctly, this year?
Maybe. I have to look back myself.
I've
got to look back on it a little bit. I'm saying that's the only road game they've played. So all these weeks that they've been practicing, they haven't been doing noise drills and things like that. I mean, you know what the decibel level top out number was in Beaver Stadium on Saturday night? 115.
I believe it. My ears were ringing pretty much after every third down play for Minnesota on defense. And I was in the press box.
What's interesting, though, is I've been asked twice today, what kind of effect this will have on Ryan Day because of the noise. And I said, none. I said, it'll have no effect on him. And I know that for a fact on my part. What do I wear when I do the broadcast? Headphones. Okay? Do you think I can really hear? I mean, I know it's loud, but I can't hear it in my headsets. Maybe I can hear it through the crowd mic. But even that, you know. So I know it's loud, but these are noise. I mean, they're noise canceling. Okay? And what do you think they're wearing in the sideline? They're all wearing headsets. They're noise canceling headsets. So that won't affect the coaching staff, but it's going to affect the tackles. It might affect the wing back, the tight end, H-back, like a Cade Stover or something like that, or a Mitch Rossi or somebody like that. So it might have an effect on them because they may have to go silent count, which they haven't had to do all season. And again, they can walk in here and have no trouble with it. That very well may be the case. Or they may come in and like going, oh boy, and struggle with it. But it's something that so far nobody has talked about. They played one road game the whole year. That's it. One. I don't know if the Big Ten knows that or not.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
If not, they'll be sitting in Chicago going, well, this can't be right. They may move the game. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But it's something that is different. And for them, it's not something they're used to doing. C.J. Stroud's never played a game here. Actually playing in the game. And he may come in and be no big deal, like just water running off his back. Who cares? All right. Or he may come in and go, oh, this is a little different. All right. We'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I.
just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV, sued as yacht insurance. I said, when did you get in a yacht? I didn't, but I bought the insurance. He scares me. You know, I mean, seriously. I mean, does he make any sense to you, Matt? I mean, really.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells sound.
They'll get bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money. They're the best in the business. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. John Sobers, Center of the LA Times, does a great job, is on the line with us. John, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
I appreciate the kind words, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Always enjoy it.
Thanks. What was the thought process on your part going into the game, and then what was the thought process as you watched it play out?
Yeah, so going in, it felt like a pivot point for the program, right? I wrote after the Michigan game that, you know, that kind of revealed about a lot about Penn State football, right? That they just kind of weren't on that level yet. Or the level that I think a lot of people want them to be on, and that this was going to be Minnesota was going to dictate whether, you know, they were on the kind of on the right track or not, right? Because you can lose at Michigan like that and then bounce back against Minnesota and still be on the right track, but you can't let that loss turn into two, especially with Ohio State potentially turning into the three pretty quickly, which is, as everyone knows, has been a problem for the program in the last few years. One turns into two, turns into three, and they didn't let that happen, right? And I will say, you know, watching the game, it kind of seemed like that was going to happen again, right? They start the game the way they did. John Clifford throws the interception. It seemed like it was like, uh-oh, you know, is this happening again? I'm sure there are fans that felt that way too. I mean, I know there were, and you could hear the reaction in the stadium. But it was.
I noticed it.
Well, yeah, it was. It served as a pivot point though, and it served as a pivot point in the positive direction, right? Like the way it ended, I don't know that anyone on the field could have played much better. You know, I do my weekly good, bad, ugly column, and most of the bad was focused around Minnesota, and the ugly was focused on stuff that happened at the start of the game, right? Not stuff that carried throughout. So it was genuinely a really impressive performance given what had happened the week prior.
The tight ends got involved to the point of 7 catches for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns, John. What did that kind of production actually do to open up the running game?
Yeah, it was enormous because it made Minnesota's defense focus on the deep third of the field, right? The deep middle of the field, the middle third of the field in general. And those linebackers kind of had to be weary of what was happening, and it allowed Penn State to sort of just attack the ground game because maybe the linebacker takes a step back after the snap. Maybe their mind is a little too focused on, okay, where's Theo Johnson? Where's Brenton Strange? Where's Tyler Warren? And that kind of allowed those running backs to take advantage of the space they were given. Credit to Katron Allen and Nick Singleton. They were both really, really good in this game. The offensive line was really good in this game from a run blocking and pass blocking perspective. I think this is probably, you know, I haven't done a comparative analysis or anything, but I think this is probably the best performance of the season. Off the top of my head, and I think a lot of that is because it kind of freed the middle of the field, and you know, that's where Katron Allen especially thrives, and he was able to get going on the ground there.
We know that Singleton can be the home run hitter. It's been evidence over and over again, including a couple of times, and one on a screen pass on Saturday night. When you watch Allen, though, what do you think his patience means to how a ground game goes?
Oh, it's everything. It's everything in this game, right? It's the patience and the contact balance. He is sort of always looking for the hole, but he's not stopping, right? You see a lot of times there are, you know, guys looking to bounce everything outside, or there are guys that kind of lose their momentum. He keeps his feet moving while he's looking for the hole in the defense. Sometimes it doesn't come and he only gets, you know, 1 or 2 yards. Sometimes it does and he turns it into 13-14. And he even does it really at the second level of the defense, right? Like, he hits the hole, and then if there's more sort of chaos in front of him, he sorts through it mentally and figures out where he needs to go, and he hits that second hole too. So his patience, his vision, his contact balance, everything about his game is kind of typical three down back that can play at an elite level. And you know, he's doing it at the highest level right now. And like I said, that contact balance especially, you can't arm tackle him. You can't sort of hit him and hope he's going to go down. You have to wrap and bring him down. Otherwise, he's just going to keep on going because, you know, you hit him once and he's just going to keep his feet moving and stay up.
Everyone saw what Michigan did with its ground game with Corum and Edwards and that offensive line. So what did you see from Penn State's defense in this effort against another truly terrific back in Mo Ibrahim?
Yeah, Ibrahim is one of the best in the country, and I think, honestly, part of Michigan's advantage is they at least had the threat of the passing game. With no Tanner Morgan, Minnesota didn't have that as much. But it also seemed like Penn State was just more consistent. They were more gap responsible. Jair Brown talked about that a lot after the game, about how the team was gap responsible. And, you know, on rewatch, you can see it. Guys aren't out of place. The linebackers are where they need to be. And honestly, I think starting Abdul Carter and getting him as many snaps as Penn State did was enormous too, because it put, you know, their three best linebackers on the field, or three of their four, depending on how you feel about Kobe King and Tyler Elzin. But those are the top four guys, those three and Curtis Jacobs. And so you want three of those four on the field as much as you can. And as James Franklin said after the game, Penn State was able to play out of base more because Minnesota wanted to run the ball so much. And being able to do that, getting three linebackers on the field, not having to worry as much about the passing game, really helped them out. Although, you know, from what I've seen, I think Abdul Carter can help in the passing game too. There will inevitably be more mistakes there. But right now, I would say he's probably the team's second best linebacker, and the team should try to get him on the field as much as it can. But his play made all the difference, and his ability to just be on the field made all the difference for them.
Which gets us to Curtis Jacobs. 14 tackles in the game, and especially a lot early. Your thoughts on seeing him now at that Sam field linebacker spot?
He's just phenomenal, right? Like, he is consistently in the right place at the right time, and he's doing that, and he's playing at that high level with that kind of intelligence, while also being, you know, one of the best linebackers athletically on the team. He is flying all over the field. This doesn't, you know, get brought up as much with him because, you know, the tackles rule the day, and it's easier to see that in the box. But, like, his coverage is also phenomenal. He's not losing guys. He's such a good athlete. He played safety in high school, so he can run and turn and run with guys, and he's done that time and time again. Didn't have to as much on Saturday, but to me, it was really just a continuation of what he's been all year, and that's, you know, an elite linebacker, like the kind of guy that's going to play for a long time in the NFL. He's an unbelievable athlete, unbelievable instincts, and you can tell he's playing more free and not thinking as much as he did early in his career. And, you know, he even said time and time again that that was part of the problem for him, that he was thinking too much, he wasn't allowing himself to play freely, and now he's doing that, and he's doing it as well as he possibly could.
Last couple of years, John, we watched Jaquan Brisker play in that safety spot. Guy that played next to him last year, and now he is the guy back there, is Jair Brown. What are you seeing in him?
One of the most instinctual players in the country. That interception he had on the pump and go that Minnesota ran, that play is designed to get him to take one false step. He doesn't even have to, you know, run in the direction they want him to. He needs to take one false step, and they're going to have their guy running free down the sideline. But he didn't. He held firm. He knew what was coming, and he stood there. And, you know, it was a bit of a duck, but he caught it, and he still got to catch him. And he was there because he made the right decision. He made the right read. And because he's that high IQ of a player, too, that he's, you know, he's seemingly always around the ball. And I know some people think that's kind of luck, right? You see in the NFL, someone like Minka Fitzpatrick is just kind of always around the ball.
Yes.
Yair Brown has that same quality, that same sort of intuition to know where he needs to be, to know where the quarterback's going, to know what's happening before the play has happened because he put so much work in with the film. He is everything you want in a safety. He might get, other than maybe he's not an elite level athlete, he's still a good athlete. He's probably not going to run like 4.3 or anything like that at the combine. But again, another guy that's going to play a long time in the NFL. You talk to people, that do the scouting and everything like that in the NFL, and they gush about him because you can see the instincts, you can see the IQ, you can see the willingness to sort of play over however he needs to. He didn't drop into the box as much this game, but that's something he's done all year too to help against the run. He is, I would say he is the best player on the defense, and I don't know that there are many safeties better in the entire country.
It looks like the Big Ten, John, is going to keep divisions next season in 2023 and then reconfigure whatever model they want when USC and UCLA get in 24. Any thought at all on your part about keeping divisions at least one more year?
Yeah, I just kind of don't get it, right? Like the change is going to happen. It seems pretty clear, right, that USC and UCLA are going to get in the Big Ten, and they're going to make the change. And they're really going to go no divisions or reconfigure divisions. I would advocate for no divisions. I think that's how you get your two best teams playing and kind of don't end up with blowouts in the Big Ten title game because, I mean, Minnesota looked like it was going to be one of the best teams in the Big Ten West, and Penn State, which, you know, right now is definitely a step below Michigan and probably a step below Ohio State, too, based on what we've seen this year, you know, just beat them up on Saturday. You still have Illinois, who I think is an elite defense, but there just isn't a lot of talent right now out West. And I don't know if there's a reason to believe that, you know, there is a team in the West more deserving of a Big Ten title game bid than Michigan, than Penn State, right, than these teams in the East, that maybe it's their second crack at Ohio State. But, I mean, from an outside perspective, I'd rather watch that than watch, you know, what will presumably be a blowout win for Ohio State or Michigan or whoever. It feels inevitable that they're going to go no divisions in all likelihood. So I don't know why you don't just make the shift now and increase your brand, right, from a college football perspective. Because I know we're going to get to that championship Saturday, the conference championship Saturday, and the Big Ten title game probably won't be one of those marquee matchups just because it's going to be one of the teams that's the elite of the elite and a good team that they're facing, but not a great team. And that's just – it's a tough sell.
John, how often have you seen Ohio State play this season? And when you have seen them, what have been your thoughts?
Too much. I watch way too much college football in general during the week. I do it a lot. I've already watched. I watched the Iowa game live on Saturday, and I'll rewatch that again this week at some point. But I've seen them play too much so far this year. This was something I said prior to the season, and so it may seem like I'm a bandwagon jumper here, but I have friends who can confirm this opinion at the time, but I thought going into the year that Marvin Harrison Jr. was going to be the best receiver in the country, and mm-hmm. right now I think he looks like it. I think he's an absolute monster on the outside. He is, like, he has Hall of Fame upside in the NFL. He is that good. He's an unbelievable athlete, has unbelievable size at 6'3". You can tell he gets some of the technician skills as a receiver from his dad. Just an absolute force on the outside. All of their wide receivers are really good. I'll be interested to see if Jackson Smith and Jigba plays. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury all season. But they've got a great offense. C.J. Stroud has been up and down at times, but I like what I see for the most part from him. Really, really good at getting the ball to his playmakers and letting them go to work. Their ground game, Travion Henderson's really good. Their tackles are good, but, you know, can be susceptible to elite pass rushers. I think Chop Robinson's status for Saturday is going to be really important for Penn State. I'm sure we'll ask about his status tomorrow or Wednesday and get an update there. But it is imperative that Penn State has its best pass rushers on the field for this game because Ohio State is going to try to air it out. And you need to be able to get to the quarterback. Fortunately for Penn State, they also have some of the best corners in the country. I'm a big Kalen King believer. Mm-hmm. I think he is on Joey Porter Jr.'s level. Those two guys, you can put them on an island and trust them against the best in the country, which is a good thing for Penn State because this week they're going to be going up against the best in the country. Defensively, Ohio State, really athletic, really good off the edge with Zach Harrison. You can beat them a little bit with the run. I think Penn State's going to need to do that, and they're going to need to, you know, try and find some explosive plays because Ohio State will surely find theirs. But this is, to me, this is going to come down to forcing turnovers for Penn State's defense and Penn State's offense finding those explosive plays.
John, always a pleasure. Great work as always. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. See you Saturday. Thank
you, John. John Sauber, Center Daily Times. Always does great work. Nate Bauer coming up. We'll talk with him. Frank Bodani will talk with him. Our play-by-play call of the day is the Aaron Judge ground out. No? Not going to go with that?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Can I say one quick note about Aaron Judge, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not surprised by what we saw in the playoffs. What do you go, 1-for-16 against Houston?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Right. If you look at the historic parallel with Roger Maris, now, back then, you didn't have the extended playoff. You won the American League pennant and the National League pennant. You went to the World Series. Roger Maris went through all the pressure of trying to break Babe Ruth's record of 60. He finally did it on the last day of the season. Game 163, it turned out, because there was a tie in there. And he hit his 61st home run. But there was pressure every day, every day, every day. You want to know what he did in the World Series against the Reds that year? And again, they didn't need his bat in the World Series. They won it in five games. He hit 105 in the World Series. He had a home run, a double. That was it. He hit 105. Judge in the postseason hit, what did he hit, 135 in the postseason? Something like that. I think that was the number, right? And he was 1-for-16 against the Astros. I think you're so mentally exhausted by trying to do what Maris and what Judge did and accomplished that I think it takes a lot out of you. And remember, he played every day, every day, every day trying to get to this thing. It was almost like an obsession by everybody to get him there, 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 get him there. I mean, the only day he took off was the last day of the regular season. And I think you can be mentally exhausted by something like that. And I think in the end, that played a role with him. Now, the rest of the Yankees, no. Now, not having LeMahieu hurts. LeMahieu's a guy that gets on base, understands how to play baseball, the whole thing. Okay? Not exactly the best managed group on the planet. I mean, I have to give a speech on crisis management tomorrow, and the first thing I'm going to talk about is don't panic, and I just watched your guy panic for four straight games.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, really. Well, you know, let's change this line. Let's put this. Just don't panic. First of all, they're better. I got it. They are better. But I would Judge. I look at Judge, and you know what? I think they're based. The history of Roger Maris. Different people, different time. But the history of Roger Maris fits perfectly with what we saw from Aaron Judge. It's the same thing. Did that make you? That doesn't make you feel better.
No, but you're 100% correct.
You know, I think it plays a role. He would never admit that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. The Phillies are in the World Series. The team Matt should have been concentrating on. You should switch your allegiance. You might as well go with the team that's successful.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.